Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of my two-part interview with Tom Donnan. Now, we have been talking about fact-checking the media. Now, this is something that's needful today. You know, used to be the media were the fact-checkers. Now, they're the lie-tellers. They are the ones who are spreading false narratives, not just about politics. I mean, if it goes against, you know, their theory on climate change, their theory on whatever the case may be, they'll spread it as being the truth. And if they get called on it later, they just bury it down, you know, on page 32 in the bottom right-hand corner or something. Oh, there was a story we did 2 weeks ago that, you know, we found out that our story was false, so we apologize for that. And that's about as far as it goes. Now, Tom has been sharing with us about Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. This is really the first time a false news story was spread, and the results were bad, okay? And that's what resulted in all this technology and things like that today, that the requirements for making sure that if you're telling a story on television and saying it's the news, you got to make sure people know that it's a story. Anyway, let's jump right back into this interview as we're discussing, I love this part, we're discussing about the technology way back in the day when, you know, how the operators were the news sources. They were the ones who were able to tell what was really happening and going on and how all that tied into the Orson Welles story. So that's where we'll pick it up at. Let's jump right back into the interview with Tom Donnan.
This was going to happen. He was in a world of trouble, and he's thinking, man, my career is over. You know, it's just starting 17 programs, and now it's over. You know, he's like, oh, I had no idea. And it had created such an uproar. But it was the thing that he, they wonder, was he that masterful? I think he was just doing some backpedaling because he realized this was way out of proportion from what his intent was. Yeah. Who had any idea that that was going to happen?
Right. I mean, I read stories where, you know, people, you know, went out and barricaded themselves in the barn and had, you know, armed, and they were shooting at people that were walking by. And I mean, some of these people really took it to heart that, you know, this is the end.
That's the thing. This is, how did that happen, right? Because they believe that hook, line, and sinker is an adage that we use in my day anyway. You know, to be able to say that people believed it 100% and then responded to it. Mm-hmm. So that is where the scary aspect comes, you know, because they had believed that the people were honest in this. And even though there was no dishonesty here, it's just that they came in the middle of it and it was so utterly convincing that they bought into it. But that brings into another aspect of what people did do to try to fact check that if this was real. And the first step of communication or fact checking was to call the operator. Can you believe it? The switchboard operator was the first step of communication so that they could either bypass it, or, you know, them to get to the police station or the radio station or a news source. And there's a segment there where they interviewed these operators from back then, and they're trying to calm the nerves and the people that are calling in to saying, no, this is just a program. And they had a huge role in doing the fact-checking for the people and getting them calmed down and not doing these unusual things, packing up and running for the hills, so to speak.
Let's stop right there and explain this for a minute, because some people, they're thinking, why would they call the operator? Well, each town had its own little numerical designation. I remember growing up, ours was Emerson, E-M, right? On the dial pad, if I pull up my cell phone here, the dial pads are still the same. Let's see, over there. E-M would be 3 and 6. 3-6 was the numerical designation, but you'd pick it up, and it was a party line back then, right? So you pick it up, just click it a couple times to catch the operator's attention, because someone was always there with the headphones on, and they'd see your little drop-down thing come down, so they'd plug in, operator, And then you tell them, yeah, I want to call the pharmacy, you know, in town. And they say, one moment, please. And then they connect your plug into the pharmacy and ring the pharmacy phone. That's how the switchboards worked back then. So when he says, yes. When Tom was saying, you know, they call the operator knew everything. You know, they knew the emergency going on. They knew who was cheating on the wife and all that stuff. You know?
They didn't listen to that stuff.
But that's why he said the operators were the ones who were like, no, this is just a show. You know, there's nothing going on. Well, that's why people would call the operator to see what's going on, because the operator knew what was going on.
So. And those switchboard lights were lighting up across the nation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Amen. Absolutely amazing. Amen. Yes.
Amen. Now, I remember back, this would have been in 1983. I want to say probably April of 1983, there was a special on, I don't remember the name of it, but it was on television, and it was set up, a terrorist group had put a nuclear weapon on a ship that was in the port of, I want to say, Charleston, South Carolina. And it was a, you know, like they would cover news stories today, right, type thing. And, you know, I was at drill sergeant school for the U.S. Army. We were at the point in our training where we had the weekend off. And my friend and I had just gotten back in from out running or whatever. And one of the guys had a television on, and you know, or had a television. We said, hey, turn your TV on. Let's see if the ball game or something is on, you know. And they turn it on as this news story, right? Well, we got on the program right after they had announced, this is a fictional story, these events are not true, you know, like that. And, you know, that faded off screen. They jumped back into the program, and for the next 15, 20 minutes, we flipped on the television set and caught it as a news broadcast. And we're like, what? What?
Yeah. Exactly.
And it wasn't until, you know, every commercial break, they would say, this is a fictional program. You know?
Yeah.
Instead of, or H.G. Wells did it at the beginning and then just went through the show. But, you know, that's how the hysterical, because, I mean, you got to see this. And we're all gathered around this thing for like 12 or 13 minutes. We're thinking this is happening right now, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's a, you know, this is a fictional program. We'll be right back after, you know, fictional. Whoa, wait, what? And then after the commercial came back on, oh, man. Because we had bought it hook, line, and sinker there for about 12 or 13 minutes.
So, whoa. You know. Well, see, it's just like, okay, now in the day and age, you know, this is where we bring it in. When I hear that there is a major earthquake anyplace in the world, within minutes you can go on YouTube and put in the timing for it, and you can have YouTubes come right up and validate what's going on, mm-hmm. depending upon the degree. Excuse me, and the number of people that are contributing to it. That's how quickly things can be fact-checked. Yep. You know, because if you hear something and you go on there and there's only one reference, well, then I think, well, wait a minute. What's going on? Because usually when something happens, you got information from all kinds of sources mm-hmm. to be able to bounce it off of to see if this is true or not.
Yep. And this is something that, not just fictional stories like we were talking about. We're just using these two examples as examples. But if something is happening or you hear about it happening in the news, you need to do your own fact-checking. Like Tom was saying, we need to fact-check the news people. You know, when they come up with this, you know, well, Trump said this and this is so terrible. You know, well, a lot of times you find out that it's not true. And they even back-check, you know, remember the story that Adam Schiff said about the phone call, you know, and then later said, well, it was supposed to be a parody, you know. But people listening to it thought, man, this is bad. And it wasn't out there anything near what was said, you know.
Yeah.
So you have to do the fact-checking yourself, folks. Do not trust the media to fact-check for you. They used to do that. They used to quadruple check their sources. If they couldn't get three or four sources all saying the same thing, then they wouldn't even run the story. Nowadays, it's not like that because they're all trying to beat each other to the punch.
Well, that brings up one of the guys that I really do like to listen to on the alternate news channel, you know, which is YouTube. His name is Greg Hunter. He was in the newspaper industry or the news reporting industry, and he finally got so fed up because they weren't doing that. Mm-hmm. He said that when he was in his prime, if you didn't fact check it to the hilt, you know, it didn't get aired. Yep. And then what it was happening is that he saw that they were sending stuff out with no fact-checking at all. And he was saying, this isn't right. And he finally quit and started his own channel and on YouTube, Greg Hunter. And I listened to his bringing in, how would you say, top-notch or professionals or these intelligent people. I can't believe some of these people he brings on. I mean, I'm stunned with their intelligence. It's absolutely amazing. And so now what's happening is that people want to find out. They have to find alternate means because six corporations that pretty much taken over the media in the United States, yep. And they are trying to push out a message that is really un-American. And this is the thing that is so scary because I think we're at such an important crossroads. You know, it's like we're standing in the middle. Which direction are we going to go? One is America continuing on as we have known it, and the other is the fall of America, which comes back to biblical prophecy, you know, because the America doesn't show up in prophecy. Are we seeing the decline or the end of America? Are we that far in the timeline, you know, of end times events to what we're seeing happening all around us?
Yeah, and the Bible is very clear that in the last days there'll be a falling away of the faith. Right? And we see that happening. It started back in the 1960s or so. And, you know, in the last days, all nations be coming against Israel. You know, as much as I loved his presidency, George Bush II, right? You know, he was pushing, well, George Bush I was the first one to come up with the idea of land for peace. And George Bush II just, you know, and then Clinton, and then George Bush II pushed it through. As well, and you know, 9/11 happened, and all of that stuff. But you know, Israel, ancient Israel, had its bad really. That's one of the things about how God works at all. He sends you warnings. He sends prophets to you and tell you, don't do this, don't do this. This will happen if you continue to go down this road. Right, turn, repent. And if you ignore his prophets, then he sends remedial judgments, stuff to get your attention, and that gives you a chance to repent, turn back to him. 9/11 was one of those remedial judgments. But if you go through the series of events that happened, I mean, you know, as soon as something, you know, oh gosh, they do something to Israel, and within 24 hours, there'd be like 400 tornadoes go across the Midwest. You know, they do something to Israel, Katrina hit New Orleans. They do something to Israel, you know, and you know they, and actually, if I remember this correctly, I don't have the stats in front of this, just going from memory. I believe George Bush's administration, HW, you know, W, he was pushing through the UN a sanction against Israel, and they were supposed to take it on September 14th. They had agreed on September 10th to hold the meeting on September 14th that was going to sanction Israel or something like that. And September 11th happened the very next day. They had made the agreement on September 10th and it was going to go for a vote on September 14th. So what happened? September 11th, 2001. And that's why I say there's so, and you say, well, that's just coincidence. All of them? I mean, I've got a whole list of these things. And when you look at it like that, when God is trying to get your attention to repent of your evil ways and come back to him, there reaches a time, a point on the timeline when God says in ancient Israel, he said, they've reached the point of no return. And now it's judgment time. And one of the judgments is he gives you a leader you deserve. And in the United States, you know, in Israel, it was Manasseh. And the Bible even says he was the most wicked ruler that Israel ever had, right? Now, he was superseded 55 years later by Josiah, which was one of the greatest kings they ever had. Well, in the United States, I believe he gave us President Obama as our Manasseh. because he did more to destroy the Christian church and Christian church influence in the United States than any other president preceding him. And President Trump is a reprieve for the Christians, but even though he may not be all, you know, his methods of communication and the words he uses may be, off color and you know, hard to accept from someone in a presidential status, he's still done more to try and restore what Christianity is in this nation than the preceding president. So, you talked about, have we fallen that far? And the answer is yes. And we are almost at the point of no return. We are at the point now where if, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 does not happen, then we're going to be left on our own. And I believe that's one of the reasons why the Bible is very clear that the United States is not even mentioned in the tribulation period as concerning Israel, because we will be incapable of taking care of our allies and taking care, you know, I mean, just think what would happen when the rapture happens. You know, all of the Christians are gone. How is the government going to try and cover that one up?
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Yeah, mass turmoil, and that gives rise to the Antichrist, who will, well, let's coalesce together here. Let's come together. We'll figure this out on our own, and that there goes your one world government, and there you go. You know,
but, well, in this area that you're talking about, you know, that's where my spiritual life is so different from many of the people or most of the people that I know. Only a few do I get understanding that are either on the same level or above me to be able to kind of mentor me through their books and radio programs. And that is that in 2010, the Lord showed me what's going to happen to the United States if we don't turn around during this time of reprieve. Mm-hmm. And the first event was, the Apostle Paul says that when he had an experience of heaven, he says, he talks in a third person and he says, whether I was in the body or out of the body, he, mm-hmm. you know, he didn't know, but he went to heaven. And he says that he saw things that he can't explain because it was beyond human language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So at this point in 2010, I'm sitting in the pastor's office, Pastor Jim down in Tyler, Texas. I'm sitting in his office. He's going to give me the pulpit the next day, and he wants to get to know me before that happens. And at the two-hour mark, we're sitting there, and a book comes catapulted off of the shelf, the top shelf, and it falls between our feet. And it is a summary of the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence by Dr. D. James Kennedy. All right, so it took me a while to be able to figure this out. And the thing is that it comes down to is that if the Constitution falls, this is the first thing that you can see, the elitist take over.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or is it that the elitist takes over and the Constitution falls? Now, what happens is that there is, I was thrust into a position of slavery in an elitist house, and I had no freedom, absolutely no freedom, and I'm wondering about my family, what happened to them, I'm separated from them, if I don't do what they say, I get killed, and so I am trying to figure out how to escape. Every moment is trying to figure out how to escape, and then when it ended, here I am back in my bedroom, and I am crying gut-wrenching prayers to the Lord, pleading with him that this never happened. And that was the first one. I had more than 90 that year. Wow. And I put four of those examples in that book, Healing the Nation, at the end as a motivator for people to get out of lukewarmness and to get challenged into 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it is a formula. And the hardest part is dealing with our own sin. And the second hardest part is desperation. You know, the formula doesn't work unless people are desperate, because if you go in there with just a half-hearted effort, it ain't going to work. You need to have your whole heart into it. And then when I see where President Trump goes ahead and starts doing things to support Israel, that is a huge thing, because the Bible says that if you bless Israel, I will bless you.
Yep.
And then the second thing is that we're seeing that across the country where abortion is being limited or changed or stopped. And that is a huge thing, because we're not seeing innocent blood being shed upon the country. Amen. But you are absolutely right that there comes a point where the Lord says that if, you know, there's a turning point, he says, okay, you haven't reached the mark, and so it's time for you to go through the fire. And I'm wondering, well, where is that? And I try to take comfort in the fact that a remnant can change a whole destiny, a whole direction. And so I am hoping that that we will be able to see where God is manifesting in the United States. When I say manifesting, I'm talking showing up. And I was in a church service one day, Pastor, and the atmosphere split open and it filled with the love of God. And I instantly knew I was made to be in that love. And then the second thing was, oh, man, this is so intense. I don't know that I can handle this.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about. You want more, but you're like, but that's enough.
Yeah. I have seen people in the glory so thick that they couldn't handle it, and they melted onto the floor and are rolling back and forth in discomfort in that purity of the atmosphere. Human body is not made for that type of experience. Yeah. And then when they got up off the floor, it was only a couple minutes, they both declared, I am different. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. One person said, I'm healed. The other person devoted their lives to the homeless community in the area here. They were changed by that experience.
Yep. Amen. That's right. Amen. Well, brother, we could keep talking about this.
We could, yeah.
Oh, man. The point we wanted to get across, though, let's bring her back home, was we need to fact check the facts. When you said, this is what happened, don't believe it. Do your own research. When they say, this is what's going to happen if this doesn't happen, we need to do this. Do your own research. And don't rely upon the main media. You know, there are so many. That's one good thing about this internet age and all the different methods of communication. You got blogs, you got articles, you got, you know, online magazines, you got YouTube, you know, Facebook, Twitter, you know, Pinterest and Instagram and all that. Cross-check everything. Don't just believe one side story, Republican or Democrat, right? Because they're all going to slant things their way. But let's just do the fact checks. Get the information right. And then make your own decision based upon that. But if you just rely upon one side's version of things, you're only going to see that perspective. You know, I use the illustration as a police officer, you know, you're doing an investigation of an accident, and you got people on four corners that say, I witnessed the accident. This one over here says, well, the guy in the red car ran the red light and hit the guy in the white car. The guy on the opposite corner says, well, the light was green and it just turned yellow when they went through the intersection. So the guy in the white car had actually run the red light. You know, so, you know, well, where, you know, then you look at the accident scene itself and you say, well, this hubcap belonged to the white car and it's over here. This side mirror belonged to the red car and it's over here. So it proves that the white car was farther through the intersection than the red car was. Okay. Now, oh, we got a bank surveillance camera over here. Let's look at the bank surveillance camera and see what happened. You know, I mean, you piece all that together and then you come up with what really happened, you know, and
exactly.
Does that mean that one witness was wrong? No, from their perspective and from what they seen, they had it right. I remember witnessing an accident one time when I was a teenager and I seen the accident. I looked up and the light was red. Now, was it red before I looked up? I couldn't answer that. It was after the accident that I looked up and it was red. So, see, it's from your perspective only that you have, but you give that information to the police officer and he pieces it together with everything else, and that's how they come up with the true story. Same thing with what we're talking about here. You take a piece from here, a piece from here, a piece from here, and a piece from here, and then you put it all together and suddenly it makes sense. Oh, that's what they're talking about. And that's the only way you can compare it then to what the Bible has to say. Oh, that's what the Bible means when it talks about this. You know, like we were talking about remedial judgments and things like that. Now maybe you got an idea. That's the whole purpose of today's program. Do your fact-checking yourself. cross-reference what the Bible says is going to happen to what the news report says is happening. Make your own decision of what day and time we live in. Because I'm telling you right now, we are at the last of the last days, for sure. Do you agree, Tom?
Totally. This is why we try to, program after program, get people's awareness to where we are in the timeline. And sometimes I really get concerned that we're so far down the road, I'm thinking, wow, we are at the door.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. Amen. And, you know, it's just is so close that, I mean, we're getting ready to wrap this program up in the next minute or so. Jesus will come back before I'm done. I mean, we're that close, you know?
Yes.
I mean, his expected snatching away of the church is that close. Everything is lined up. There is nothing hindering him right now except the Father. And when the Father says, well, that's it, then, folks, he's not going to, well, okay, let's schedule this for October 12th, 2027 then, Dad. No. When God says, go get your church, it's going to be instantaneous. Boom!
Yeah.
And that's going to be it.
Yes.
Tom, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, maybe to ask a question, do an interview such as this, you know, how can they do that?
That would be through two means. And the first is the email address, which is healingthenation1776@gmail.com. Or I do have a Facebook page that is Healing the Nation Ministries. And either way, they can get a hold of me.
All right. And I'm going to put some links to, you know, like you're involved with that mission that, you know, people call in or chat in their questions about. You know, Jesus and any ministry questions related to stuff like that too, right?
That'd be wonderful. Yeah, chataboutjesus.com, yep. Chat now. There's like seven different ministries that has chat links, and you can get a hold of a volunteer and be able to voice your questions, concerns, or desire to get closer to the Lord, which is absolutely awesome.
Amen. Now I'm going to put some links to your books in there too, because, folks, you need to check out Tom's books. He's written about some of this stuff, and he's also got a couple fictional books in there. Well, at least one. I know he's working on the next one. It's not fiction, but how can we phrase that, Tom? It's a...
Well, it's a story form about people's lives. The first one was a pastor that was so gravely ill that if he didn't get the ear of God, he was going to die. And he did get the ear of God, and God orchestrated out his instantaneous healing. And then the second book was about three lady pastors. The first book is the senior pastor. And it's written in story form based on a skeleton of their life.
Yep.
And so that's the thing is that when you're reading this, 90% of the things that are in the book actually happen, whether it's in their lives or my life or people that I know. So when you hear about churches on fire being Pentecost or you have dreams being given, you know, those things actually happen to people.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So, folks, go down the show links down below. Get in touch with Tom. Order his books. You know, at the time of the airing of this broadcast, we're talking about it's Christmas season now. I mean, you need to start planning that. So get 2-3 copies. Pass them around. Share the gospel. Share the gospel with your loved ones. You know, whether they read the book or not, the fact that you're giving it to them shows how much you care. Now, it's just like talking to them about receiving Jesus as their Savior. If they don't want to do that, you've done your job. You've shared the word. And that's what you're doing with Tom's book. You're planting that seed. And it doesn't matter whether you see the fruit from it immediately or not. The seed has been planted. All right? So go down in the show notes down below. Get in touch with Tom Donnan and ask your questions. I know he'll answer you quick. So, Tom, I need you to get back on the program again, man. We're running out of time. We still got stuff we could talk about, brother.
I'm telling you, it's a volatile season. I mean, this stuff comes up all the time.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today, though, so I got to let you go.
Folks, thank you, Pastor.
Not a problem. This is Pastor Bob for Tom, Don, and myself, reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.